Welcome to Power of the Tribe podcast. I'm your host, John Connors. I'm also the founder of Connors Martial Arts here in Norwood, Massachusetts. We teach Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, kickboxing, and mixed martial arts. If you want to lose weight, get in shape, become the badass that you really are, reach out to us, give us a call, and we'll help you out. Our podcast here is Power of the Tribe, and I'm here with my co-host, Dan Robin. How you doing, Dan?
Good. How you doing, John?
Good, good. Dan, I want to start with... You don't have this shirt.
I don't have it.
Okay, so this is our newest shirt. I'm pretty excited about it. So on the front, it has our crest, Connors over MMA. I stole this basically from the Harvard logo. Harvard has Viritas.
Right. Harvard just furious with you?
I'm fending off lawsuits now. I'm getting letters from their attorneys on a daily basis.
There's a lot of confusion. People like show up and they think it's Harvard and vice versa.
No, it's really funny, Dan. It's funny you should say that. One time I was in Newport, Rhode Island, and I had, I think, a hoodie. We used to have this really nice pullover hoodie. It was crimson, and it had this logo on it, and it looked from a distance like Harvard. And I saw these old geezers. I was in a Starbucks, and they have in Newport, they have an upstairs and a downstairs at the Starbucks. And these two old guys, one guy like elbowed the old geezer next to him. They started pointing down. They were looking. And I knew they
thought Harvard, yeah.
Yeah, but they were perplexed. Like, wait a minute, that doesn't say Harvard. And I could see the wheels spinning. Yeah, they were getting the lawsuits ready for me immediately. They didn't look happy.
You'd have an opportunity to defend and be like, I did go to Harvard, actually.
I did. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All the effort I put in squeaking by at Harvard, I think I earned the right to...
Steal
their logo. Well, I think with, you know, my non-professional opinion, this is fair use, right?
Yeah,
it's sort of like satire or something. Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah, there are three little books. And at Harvard, it says Viritas, which I'm sure you know what that means. But one of my buddies is from Rosendale. One of my buddies, I remember him say to me, John, what are those three little words on the Harvard logo?
V means...
Actually, it's one word, and it means truth. But ours is mixed martial arts. So anyways, long story short, that's how I came up with that logo. And I want to emphasize that we're an academy. We're an institution of learning, Dan.
Right.
Not an institution of punching people in the face, necessarily. Right. So we get that. It's in sort of a military green color, which I sort of like. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, well, very wearable. It's
very wearable,
like
right?
Yeah.
And then on the back, it has prepare right, compete right. So that's sort of my newest mantra that I've been working with for the last couple months or so. And what that means is basically what we did when we were competing for the Pan Championships and for the World Championships is if we can look at the whole experience, the 8 weeks of preparation and the competing, and look at it that way, we can come away with a more satisfying experience no matter what the results are. And we're going to improve our chances of having a better result if we prepare right. What drives me crazy is when, especially in MMA, somebody takes an MMA fight and they don't prepare properly and they get in there and they don't have a good result and they say, well, the important thing is that you got in there. Well, not really, right?
Yeah.
If you don't prepare right, you're not really giving it a sincere effort. I think some people do that in order to protect their ego. It's sort of an ego trap.
Yeah. Thing, right? I feel like it's been sort of a theme on the podcast, like kind of coming in and out through different shows,
right?
This idea of the preparation and the experience as a whole and how it helps you. And it does, again, doesn't have to be for an MMA fight because very few people are going to be in an MMA fight.
Right.
But I think a lot of things in life, the slogan applies, right? And the idea of this idea applies of looking at the whole, like, did you prepare properly? Did you put in a good effort? Then what happens, happens after that.
I think that's it. If you choose an exciting goal, stresses you out, stimulates you, gets you off the couch, that's great. But then you also have to figure out what the process is going to be and follow the process. So if I find an exciting goal, I figure out what my plan is, and then I just execute my plan, you know, by the time I get to the goal or don't get to the goal, I'm going to be in a much better place than when I started. And I'm more likely to achieve my goal if I really focus on the process and the moment and sort of get it done.
Right.
So that's where that came from. And then I added something on the sleeve. No, this is ancient Greek. This is arete. That's the Greek word for excellence. And what it really means in the concept of arete in ancient Greek is the idea of being the best that you can be at what you're doing. So if you're doing jiu-jitsu, if you're podcasting, trying to be the best that you can be at doing it.
Like us in this podcast.
Right. So like I didn't prepare today at all. I thought I put my phone in airplane mode. I did, but something happened. Didn't prepare. We're not excellent. Yeah. So we're flying in the face of this t-shirt, Dan.
Well, we're headed for the goal.
We're always working on disrespecting this t-shirt. All right. So why did I bring a t-shirt? One, I brought it as a gift to you because you're my buddy.
Thanks.
And I got large. It must fit you, right?
Sure.
And the other reason why I brought it is I wanted to have a contest for reviews for our podcast. So here's how it works. Whoever goes on after they hear this episode and writes a review for this podcast, because I think we only have, how many reviews do we have? Like maybe 3 reviews. So I'm sure
it's motivation.
This is motivation. Once they hear this, they see that t-shirt, we're going to get flooded with dozens of reviews.
It has to be good reviews, right?
Would be nice.
are you eligible with a bad review?
You know what? I'll take anything at this point, Dan. Yeah.
All right.
We got to get some
Any momentum. Review.
Any review. I'm going to pull a name out of a hat of all the reviews we get, and I'm going to give them that t-shirt, which is a $20 retail value. Pretty impressive.
Nice.
Nice. So double
and
saw.
And I got it for free. And you I'll write a review.
You're right. That's right. We should both write reviews.
I know.
Well, I could comment on Dan. I could review his performance.
Yeah.
And you could do mine. Yeah, then we'll have
I'll
5.
I'll wait to see what you say.
All right, so we're going forward. I'm going to pull a name out of hat next week of all the reviews.
All right, so free t-shirt.
Free t-shirt. And you know what, Dan? The rate the reviews are coming in, if you write a review, you're likely going to get the t-shirt.
That's what I was thinking.
Very likely.
Yeah, it's not like 1 in 100. Right?
No,
like,
it might be 1 out of 1.
It might be an automatic t-shirt if you write a review.
That's it, yeah.
Of course, if 2 come in and you don't get it, you're going to be mad, right?
Oh, right, yeah. That's possible.
But your odds
we'll
are
see
good.
What happens.
Your odds are good.
Who knows? I might get crazy and give out a second shirt. Who knows? Back to the podcast. I just wanted to get that. Have you been traveling? You must have went away to the woods or something.
Yeah, for New Year's, I go away.
Yeah.
I think you saw, I said I was bushwhacking again, which we established means hiking with no trail.
Yep.
So it's always it's fun, but it's always a little
scratchy.
You get a little. It wasn't the word I was going to use. That was your guess of what I was going to say. But a little more tense because you can get lost. You know, you're like on a mountain, you walk for miles, and you'd be surprised how easy it is to get lost.
Dan, can I interject here? How easy it is to get lost? Did I tell you that story when I was in the Arnold Arboretum? No. So the Arnold Arboretum, for folks to know, it's a beautiful place in Rosendale, I guess, Jamaica Plain, maybe right on the line there. And it has trees from all over the world. Harvard University tends to this little park. It's beautiful. It's like a mini Central Park, I guess you would call it, here in Boston. But mini, right? It's not that big. Have you been there, Dan?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I've heard of it, but I don't think
so. You should do a trip there. You'd get a kick out of it. It's very cool.
My impression is that it's not that big a place, though.
It's not that big. And it has kind of roads like in Central Park and little park benches and everything. Well, that's where I was doing my Sunday evening hill workouts, getting ready for competition. And what I would do, I'd go there Sunday afternoon. I was going at about 4 o'clock, and I'd do this really strenuous workout. And it runs up a spiral road in the middle of the park. And when you're at the top of this little hill, you can see downtown Boston. You see all the buildings, Prudential Building, Hancock, etc. That's a beautiful view. And at the top, there's stone benches. It's nice, very lovely. And what happened is it started to get dark because it was in the fall, approaching winter. And one day I went there at 4 o'clock, and it was a little too dark, but I had to get my workout in. So I did this incredibly strenuous workout, and I got up to the top, and I'm
exhausted.
You
ran to the top of the hill, and you're like, how do I get back down?
And I started – here's what I did. So – it's a really hard workout. It takes 90 seconds if I start at a certain place and go 100%. I get to the top. It's 90 seconds. My heart rate's at its maximum. And then I walk down. I cut across the grass. It takes me 2 minutes to get to the starting line, and I do it again. I have a heart monitor on, and I just keep pushing my heart rate up higher and higher and higher to the point where, you know, blood's about to burst out of my eyeballs and ears and everything. And I did maybe 4 reps of this, some number that was just excruciating. And then I did a maximum set of push-ups when I was at the top, and I was just, like, exhausted. So then I get up from the push-ups, dizzy from all of this, and now it's really dark, and I'm like, I can't believe I did it. That was so hard and painful. But now I get to walk back home, and I start walking home. Like, so I walk off the top of the hill, and I go about 20 yards, and I'm lost. I'm like, where the hell am I? So I get lost in this park, and I'm looking around, and luckily it was a hill, so I could retrace my steps, which if you're way out in the bushwhacker, you can't do that. So I went back to the top of the hill, and it took me a while to orient myself and then get back and find the road.
Roads and benches and probably buildings in sight. And
I almost died of exposure in Rosendale.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I can't imagine going in the wilderness.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at the top of these mountains, unlike here, there's snow. You know, there's a lot of snow, so everything's white. But actually, one of the worst feelings that can happen is you get to the top of the mountain, you get to the peak, and then you're like, I made it. Maybe you have lunch or something. Then you look around and you go, where did we come from? You know what I mean? You're like, which direction did we come from to get here? Like, so now I've learned, like, I make sure I keep track of it. Or you have a compass or something like that.
Breadcrumbs or something?
But you can, or you just kind of mentally make sure you have a landmark or like I said, you have a compass or something. But that can be a real thing. You could be in the middle of nowhere. And then you think, if I get going in the wrong direction off this mountain, I'll be miles and miles from where I want it to be. You know,
right.
Like I can be literally.
Or remember maybe Craig Lewin said that if you're right hand dominant, you swim in circles out if you don't know where you are, and you probably walk in circles.
That's what I heard too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't done that, like walking. I haven't been that lost. But
now you don't have a GPS device that tells you exactly where you are or anything.
I have had it. I didn't have it lately, but I have had one. But I don't have the time to figure out how they work. You know, so like. I don't like reading manuals, and you know, they're always sort of
I never read manuals.
They're all sort of like, they do the GPS is do 500 things. Like, do you want to put in a waypoint? And you know, when you're lost on a mountain, it's getting dark is not when you want to really like try to figure out how to work it.
You sound exactly like me. You don't read directions for things, do you?
No.
I rip things out of the box and just try to figure it out. And if I can't figure it out in 30 seconds, I get frustrated.
Yeah.
Toss it aside or ask my son to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I tell you about my new toilet seat?
No. Didn't tell me about your old toilet seat either, but.
So one of my presents for the holidays was one of those Japanese style toilet seats. Talk about that at all?
We did not. So somebody gifted you a toilet seat.
At my request.
Oh.
So here's what happened.
This was on your registration, registry, right?
I'll try to do it quickly because I know it's sort of. Picture there's people that are like, inspiration, power of the tribe, and it's like he's talking about a toilet seat, like what going on, like, but
this
but
is a Japanese style toilet seat.
You know, I went to Tokyo.
That's where you got inspired for the gift.
So you get there and they have these very fancy toilet seats, and your first thought, any American I think, is like, I don't want to deal with this, like, what is,
you don't want to deal with the toilet
with toilet seats with controls, there's a remote.
I'm trying to remember because I was in Tokyo, but
maybe you didn't have one. By the time I left, I was like, I can't believe I have to go back to the United States and regular toilet seats, like a savage. I'm not a barbarian. So now, I'm totally spoiled. Like, I left Japan and you get back home and you're like, I have to open the toilet seat with my hand like a barbarian.
Oh,
like, that's all remote control.
It's all remote control. So it opens.
Yeah.
I imagine it's a heated seat.
It's heated. That's another thing. I sit on a room temperature toilet seat now and I'm like, what is this, the 1800s? Was this an outhouse? You know what I mean? I'm like, I can't believe I'm living like a pioneer.
Dan, I think this dovetails nicely with our theme of getting outside your comfort zone. You're actually getting deeper and deeper into the comfort
zone. Into my comfort. Yeah. My actual, outside of my comfort zone now is sitting on a regular toilet seat.
It's like room temperature toilet seat.
I feel like Wim Hof. I'm like breathing. I'm sitting on the toilet seat like.
That's right. I'm asking you, hey, Dan, go take an ice cold shower and tell me about it. Meanwhile, you're sitting on a heated toilet seat.
I'm breathing through the room temperature toilet seat. Like, okay, I'm okay.
You're trying not to hyperventilate.
Yeah, I'm talking myself through it. You're okay.
That's really funny.
But so with the toilet seat, so then also the particle, but like it does water, like it shoots water.
A little bidet action.
It's a bidet action, yeah. Again, nice. I'm not a Neanderthal. You're cleaning with a toilet paper seems like something a Neanderthal at this point for me. So it would do. So the reason we're talking about it is that I didn't read the instructions.
And so you received, you got this as a gift.
Yeah.
Now, do you install it yourself?
Or no, you need an electrician. You need a plumber. Like it's strict.
You need a general contractor to use the bathroom.
It's true.
That's really funny.
Because you need like a outlet near the toilet. And stuff.
How long did it take them to install it for you?
A couple hours.
Oh, so it's not that big.
Yeah, not too bad.
And now is it just a seat or do they have to put a whole toilet in?
No, just the seat.
Just a seat.
Yeah.
But it still does all that you need for it to do. Okay. Yeah.
But, you need water hooked up and everything.
Yeah.
So I didn't read the instructions.
And you have a handheld remote, like a TV remote.
Yeah, I don't know why they have a remote. Like, you don't really need to control it from another room, right? Like, you're never, like, in the other room, like, controlling your toilet.
I'm not, like, yeah.
But that's how you control it. It's not that clear how to use it, so I'm...
How many buttons are on this remote?
20.
20?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. And you can't tell what they all mean.
I mean, my TV remote is like that. I'm like, I just need it to turn on and change the channel in it.
That's how I feel a little bit. Like some of this I can tell. Like I'm trying to turn it off and it's like changing. Like it's like, oh, now it's pulsing water. And I'm like, I don't really need options. In fact, I'm feeling a little weird about
water,
the options.
Water, non-water is fine. Yeah. You don't need the pulsing. It has different like water settings.
Yeah,
so
water
you get the
settings.
Champagne, rain,
exactly.
Pulsing, massage.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of like, I don't really need this. But the button that's not clear, off. So I'd be on the toilet.
That's the one that you can't figure out.
I could not figure it out. And there's a very clear, like one that looks like an off button, like on a remote that would all, and it didn't turn it off. So then you're sitting there, you've got a bidet going, and you're like, I can't get up, right? Because it's firing water. You know what I mean?
You know, this is how AI takes over. We're slaves to the machine. You can't get up off your bidet.
I couldn't
shut it off.
Yeah. And speaking of like AI taking over, so I'm hitting every button I can, and like finally it turned. What I had to do is like. Turn it to, which another feature, the dryer.
Let's get a dryer.
So it wets you, champagnes you down,
pulsates and massages you with water. Now it dries you off.
Yeah, hair dryer.
Nice.
Yeah, that one I don't really need as much either.
Okay.
So what I do is hit dryer, then I could get up at least. You know
because the dryer automatically shuts off the water.
Yeah.
At least they did that right. Yeah.
So I was hitting a lot of buttons to try to get it to stop. So it goes to dryer. I get up off the toilet.
And the dryer's going.
Yeah.
The water's off, but it makes some noise.
I hear. So it gets my attention. Just like a, like a.
Like there's a motor going or something. Okay.
A little, as I look down, a little thing comes out and just does one off blast me with water.
A little arm comes.
Yeah. A little thing sticks out and just goes blast and like soaks me. And then it goes back
in. Where does it soak you? Like your chest and
like
whatever?
Chest down to my knee, I'd say. And then just goes back in. And I'm sitting there like cursing at my toilet seat. I'm like, you mother. So then I'm like, I really need to learn to read the directions on this. Like,
you got to at least find out where the
as I'm like,
is.
I actually have to change my shirt.
Yeah.
Because of the toilet seat.
That's going to add to your day if you have to do that every time.
Yeah. So... I didn't actually read the directions. I have to say the ending should be that I then read the directions. But all I did was I asked, does anyone know where the stop is?
Who'd you ask?
My wife. She read it cover to cover.
You have a lovely wife.
Yeah.
And that's why you marry a woman like that.
Exactly.
You don't have to read the directions.
Exactly. Yeah. So I said, all I need is a stop button. Go stop. That's all I need.
That's it.
So I didn't actually read it.
So now you know what the stop button is?
Yes.
Now that you know that that's the stop button, is it... clear or is it bad design? Is it obviously
it's bad design?
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Does that button do anything else but shut it off?
I think it just shuts it off.
That's
but
it.
I'm always uncomfortable with it. I have to say a little. Like I hit stop and then it makes noises, and like sometimes a dryer comes on, sometimes it doesn't. sometimes I'm about to get up and I hear a little noise and I'm like a little jumpy because I don't know if it's going to spray me.
Yeah. I'd be jumpy too.
Yeah, it's got me a little jumpy.
What symbol is on the stop button?
That's the thing. It's not even a button. It's like a clear. It looks almost like it would light up. It doesn't look like something you press.
It's nothing that you depress. You put your thumb over it, you kind of press into the
remote,
and then it shuts it off.
Yeah.
And there's no marking on it or anything.
No.
Well, that's insane.
Yeah.
Well,
and the other side of the remote has like a thing that looks like play, you know, like four arrows.
The other side. So there's buttons on two sides of this device.
Yes. And so the other side has like four-way arrows and like a square in the middle. That's stop, right? So I'd be sitting there going like, how is this not stopping? It looks like stop.
That's usually the universal button, like the okay.
Yeah. And I still haven't found that.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't found it do anything.
That's part of Japanese culture, isn't it? They say that about the automobiles too, that they love all the little extra things, like a little you can pull out and there's a little shelf in here and then a little button there.
Yeah, it does stuff. Like I hear it doing things when I'm in the next room. Like I'm reading and the toilet is doing something. And I don't know what. Like it's like motors running, little water spraying. I'm like, what is going on in there? I don't even know.
That's pretty cool. Who gave you the gift?
My wife. But I came back from Japan and I was going off about how I'm
living. You were raving about it.
Yeah. Well, I was saying, I was more complaining about my current toilet seat. I'm living like a barbarian. Like,
right.
You know, it's like, I'm not a savage. I have to touch it. I have to touch this seat to open it. Seemed very.
And did you tell her, you know, I would really like that as a gift? Or did she just intuit it and get you a gift?
I think she just intuited it.
Good for her.
And then I forgot that I mentioned it, so it was a surprise.
And it was a surprise.
Yeah.
That's great.
But I mean, because you know how Christmas is now, like for grown men, you're like, you don't really tend to get anything.
Actually, my students, different students gave me some lovely gifts. Yeah.
But it's good. But don't you agree, like for me, when I have friends that are complaining in any way about their Christmas gifts, I'm like, you're a grown man. Like,
that's pathetic. What do you mean? Yeah. Come on.
Are you sad about the tooth fairy? You know, I didn't leave you anything? Grown man, Christmas isn't for you. I just had this flash image as we're talking about how you like do like little clickbait sort of titles.
I think you're right. One of the most clicked on ones was Chad's interview from bullied band nerd to professional MMA fighter.
Yeah.
That one people really liked. Yeah. So you have a title now?
No, I was going to make a request that it does not have to do with my toilet.
The toilet.
Like bury it down at least. Like do not have it.
Well,
weed.
On Facebook, one of the episodes, I think I put Dan gets assaulted at two different concerts.
Yeah.
And Amanda McQuaid went, that sounds awesome or something. Yeah. She seemed to really respond to the fact of you getting assaulted.
Yeah, it seemed to have an appeal to her.
Yeah. Definitely. So I don't know if that's universal or just her in particular, but she felt strongly enough about it to comment on Facebook.
A little of each, probably.
So the episode that went up a couple of days ago, I think I featured somebody throwing a flower pot at you.
Yeah.
I thought.
I heard it was good for all the people who haven't listened to it yet.
I got great feedback from it, and I listened to it. I thought it was great. I forget about them. You know, because there's a lag, and then by the time I listen to them, they sound great. Yeah. They sound fresh to me. So you got the toilet from your wife. So,
yeah, I got a cheese of the month club. Did you know that was a thing? Wine I've turned on, though. don't get me started. So
you've turned on wine. What does that mean?
So, I'll tell you. I got my wife for Christmas a $180 bottle of wine.
Can I ask you the name of the wine?
I have no idea.
You don't know what it is?
No, I'm not.
You spend 180 bucks and you don't even remember what it was?
It was a Grand Cru, which my understanding is the highest level of wine you can get.
What type of wine is that?
White.
It's a white wine, Grand Cru. What kind of white wine?
I can't remember what
white
I got
wine
now.
In particular. Yeah.
Chablis.
Okay.
Or that might be a region. Sure. I got this.
You got a $180 bottle of wine for your wife.
Yeah, Grand Cru. So we had a couple glasses of Chablis and been like, I think I like Chablis. So
you thought you liked it.
Yeah, and she liked it too.
All right.
So I'm like, oh, here's one in the store, $180 Grand Cru. I'll throw it in as a Christmas gift.
Nice.
We had it. And I was like, this is such crap. Like, it tastes exactly the same.
As all the other Chablis.
As all the other wine.
As the other wine in a box that you could have bought for $8.
Well, maybe this horrible wine that's worse. You know, like maybe if you get
You know what I had once years and years ago was Opus 1. That's a famous Cabernet.
And is it supposed to be?
It was amazing. Oh, really? It was really good. Yeah.
I didn't have that experience. I was like, if you had told me you could take this bottle and say, I could buy it for $19, and I wouldn't be like, wow, this right. wasn't, you know? So yeah. I was like, wine always has this total,
wine's tricky,
like,
that way. Yeah.
Yeah, and it has this kind of like phony vibe to it. Now that's
perception matters a lot.
And it's extending out too. People are for that whiskey, beer now. People right. are everything. For me, I don't care about any of that stuff. You know, yeah. like the
prestige.
Yeah, the prestige and the yeah. pomp of it. Like the yeah. sort of the, oh, this is a really good bottle.
Right.
That's all nonsense to me. So I've turned on wine, but.
So I've, now you're against wine.
Yeah.
Do you drink wine at all?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not that. Because I remember. I remember you came over the house one time a couple of years ago, and I think we ended up opening 5 bottles of wine by the end of the night. It's like, I'm like, huh?
I think just Dan opening, does like just wine. Opening.
Well, well, we finished 4 bottles of wine, and we I left, don't know if we finished yeah. the 5th or not, but we definitely opened 5 bottles of wine. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, I didn't say I won't have it. I said I've turned on it.
You turned on it. Okay.
Speaking of which, I'm doing a New Year's resolutions.
All right.
I'm going to do a dry January, sober January.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Starting
crazy
tomorrow?
Talk? No.
I thought we were going to go have a beer after this.
Yeah, isn't that, yeah, no, people are always so mad at me. They're like, what? We're going out, right? I can do 1 month.
Yeah, of course you can.
1 month. Yeah. So I just want to flex the willpower.
Good for you.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just one thing to flex the willpower. There's no real reason. I just think it's one way to flex the willpower. Be like, let's do that. And I also, you mentioned, speaking of willpower things, I did try the cold shower.
Okay.
it was, I don't think I did it the way you recommended, like try, like get a little more used to it, a little more used to it.
So here's how I would recommend it. I don't know if you, just to be clear. Yeah. I would say take your typical shower, do all your ablutions, whatever you got to do. And then probably the first time for 30 seconds, turn the water cold for 30 seconds and then shut it off and you're done.
Right.
And then try to do a minute and so forth.
Yeah, and work your way up.
Yeah, to about 5 minutes probably, yeah.
So what I did was like 3 days ago, I was like, oh, wait, I never did that cold shower thing that I said on an earlier podcast I would do. So I just said, oh, I'll just do it now. And I just hit the thing. I was in the shower when I realized it. And I just hit the thing all the way over to cold.
Okay.
And then just I was like, this is horrible. I was just something, you know, I was just like yelling and cursing. And like, and I just took my whole shower, like a regular shower, like soaked myself like in the freezing water.
Okay.
And just like cursed, yelled the whole time and then turned it off. And was like,
you sound like Homer Simpson.
That was yeah. awful. Yeah. Like that was horrible, but
yeah. Okay.
So that's, I think, a little
it's
different
not for
than,
everybody, I guess. Yeah.
But it's not probably if you want to do it long term, it would be more work your way, you know, like you said, 30 seconds and then a minute
yeah.
and then 3 minutes or like a little bit colder. It's probably not just like spur of the moment.
Absolutely. Because one way to think about it is Wim Hof, he suggests that you're improving your cardiovascular system. So there's like these tiny little capillaries that lie dormant that you can stimulate by this. So it'd be like lifting weights or running. You wouldn't just go out and run a marathon at full throttle first right. day. You'd go out and run a mile, get used to that, and then start stretching yourself that way. So yeah, that'd probably be the way to do it. But
right. But I thought
but
I
maybe the screaming helps too.
I don't know if I could have done it without the screaming. That would have been, or the cursing.
Okay, but so back.
So willpower things.
Willpower. That,
you know, just get the cold shower thing done. Go 1 month without any alcohol.
Alcohol. Good for you, man.
And then, I don't know. See, we've talked about resolutions and this kind of goals. I try to do goals that I know I can do.
I think that's good. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But some people don't say that. They're like, try the most extreme, you know, be like, by the end of the year, I'm going to. Try something really, really hard. And I don't like it because then I think, so say it was by the end of the year, I'm going to level up in jiu-jitsu, get a belt. then that's so vague. It's sort of like, are you working toward it or not? Like, like I'm sort of working toward it. Mine, I like concrete. Like,
definitely
no booze January, period. Good and in fact, you. I have even that, except one day. I'm like, I check my calendar and I'm like, I do have that party on the 22nd or something. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I even said to myself, I can drink that day.
You know, I think that's okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, because then I'll stick to what I said as opposed to kind of loosely. Like, well, you know, breaking it.
Right. Because you don't want to fall into that. There's that dynamic that happens, that the hell with it dynamic where, like, you set up yourself up where you're going to be perfect. And then you eat one potato chip and you go, the hell with it. And then you just eat like a maniac and you throw it all away. Yeah.
So my other thing was to touch the 170s in weight. Like,
really?
Yeah. But I don't know. That's only, 10 pounds or
10 pounds. Right?
But even that's a little vague for me. Like,
how long are you giving yourself to do that?
I didn't set a time yet.
Okay.
I got to think about that. But you're right. I should say by what, end of January, February?
Oh, no. That's way too fast. I think that would be too hard. Yeah.
I usually lose the first 4 pounds when, I don't know if this is normal, but like when I think about losing weight, the first 4 pounds just goes immediately. As soon as I set the goal, it drives my wife crazy because she works hard. Like, I'll just be like, I should lose 10 pounds. And then the next morning, I'm usually about down about 4 pounds.
That's really funny.
Just the thought of it. Then the rest is a little harder. Then it's slow going.
I was going to say give yourself 6 months, but
really?
You know yourself better than me. So
I might be, it's something like 10 pounds, right? Yeah. So, and then how long do I need to stay there? I didn't really, I thought I might touch it like a weight cut in, you know, like just touch it.
I think that's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Because it takes a while to gain it back, too, is the other thing. You know, like,
it's going to take a while to get there, so you're probably going to be eating healthier. So
yeah, that's the way it works
for me.
Every
day you eat healthy is a win.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's how I think it works, right? Then you lost all that weight for your competition.
Right.
Even if now you're not trying as hard, you're kind of probably not. You don't go straight back to double stuffed Oreos, right? You sort of.
Oh, God, no.
You know, you kind of keep on that track.
Kind of, although I haven't, and I haven't been able to train because I have an injury, so I'm going stir crazy not being able to train. And my weight bounced up like 4 or 5 pounds, but...
You're still below where you were.
Yeah, and I have a new threshold where I'm at, whatever, 181. I'm like, this is not good. So then that seems to mitigate my eating, and then I have a couple of healthy days and I come down.
That's what I want to do. Instead of bouncing up to whatever the number is, bouncing up to 190 something, bounce up to 185.
Yeah.
And then cut it back.
Yeah.
So even you allow yourself that bounce, but you just keep it a little lower.
I think so. I think goals should be exciting enough to motivate, like to stir action, but realistic enough, like you said, that they're attainable, because once you think it's not attainable, it's very hard to work towards something that you don't think is realistic or attainable.
Because I've noticed with me, I can attain some goals better than people that seem so much more intense than me. You know, like they seem so much more. I've seen it in jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah.
We've seen it constantly of people that are like, jiu-jitsu is life. And then
they're gone. Exactly. You're like, what the hell happened to Jiu-Jitsu's life guy?
Whereas I never talk that way, you know? I'm like, well, I do it, but I put myself down, but I'm like, I'm still here. And, you know?
Yeah, that's probably, you could attribute a lot of that to personality, I suppose. Those people are probably more emotionally variable, neurotic. So they get super up on something and then they get down on it just as fast.
And you said you saw it when you ran a yoga studio too, right? People that would just be like, this transformed me.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I needed. This is life changing. I'm going to be a yoga instructor.
And then
2 weeks later, gone.
They're gone. Yeah. They're doing P90X at their house or something stupid. Right. Yeah.
So, So goal setting is an interesting thing. I like to sort of set one. I know I'm going to meet and then meet it. And then I'll meet it too. Like, that's the other thing. I'm just sort of relaxed. I'm not like, I swear I'll never have a dream. You know, I'm just like, I'll meet it.
You're right there, Dan. Yeah. You're going to go par for the course, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is this, a par four? I'm gonna four this thing.
Yeah, I'm not yelling about yelling about birdies.
Yeah. Right. You're going to try to eagle anything.
Yeah.
No way, man. We're just going to par this baby, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
If you could par a course, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's why I can't have, so the podcast is centered around the gym and jiu-jitsu. Can't really set jiu-jitsu goals because they're so vague to me. You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
I hear you.
What can I realistically, like, I can say, I'll work on my defense. All right.
But, yeah, I think you could pick a position perhaps or something like that, my passing, or I'm going to work on my Kimura's. Yeah, that would probably be not a bad idea. Right. But even that, it's difficult to objectively measure and quantify.
Someone could say, you've done it, where you say, I'm going to compete.
Yeah.
That would be one, but I'm not going to do that. That would be a concrete goal. Like before this year ends, I'm going to be in a tournament.
Definitely.
You know, I won't, but that would be more how I'd like to do it. Like, just be like, here's something. You didn't set any goals, did you?
I didn't, Dan. I was struggling with it, and I have to.
And you said you were someone who likes to set goals, too.
It's not like I have to. I'm going to, just to survive, I have to. Because I'm miserable right now. I am completely miserable.
But can you set goals that you don't know will happen? Like, along the lines of what I'm saying, I mean, you could say my goal will be date a nice woman or something. You're like, but you don't know that can happen. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people do that in life is what I'm saying, where they're like, eat healthier. It's like, well, what does that mean?
I think
like those are two different examples. One is a goal, but you don't know that you can actually do it. And one is a goal that is not well defined. I try to avoid both those things.
I would say this, Dan. I think you can choose a goal that involves things that are beyond your direct control. You just figure out a plan and a process that's going to make that goal more likely to happen, and then just focus on that plan and process.
That's a good example. But yeah, that's perfect, because that's what I would say is, what are things that would make this more likely, and then set those concrete things. So you can't say, I'm going to get my blue belt by the end of the year. Maybe you will, maybe you won't.
Right.
I'd rather set goals that are like, I will do these things to make that more likely. I will go 4 days a week, or I will, barring injury, or, you know, things like that.
Definitely. Definitely.
And then I try to work in those things. Like I said, I worked in this one day where I know I'm going to go to this party and have a few drinks, which is, if you say, you know, I would build in, like, barring injury, or, you know, things that can happen, because you can say, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week, and then you're injured. And then you have what you said, where you go, screw it, I can't go.
I totally agree. I'm injured. Need contingency plans.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have an exciting goal in the future that motivates me to act. I come up with my plan that's going to lead me to that goal and make that goal more likely to be accomplished. But in the process of working that plan, things are going to come up that are unforeseen, and you're going to have to change your plan and do things slightly differently. So I think that's a realistic, sort of mature way to look at it. And if you do that, your life's going to be better for you. You know, you're going to make progress if you follow a plan that's well thought out, even if you have to change it.
Because the one thing I haven't worked in now is like any kind of eating better. But if I work in something, it can't hurt, right? Like, to your point, it has to help. I won't be worse off.
You won't be worse off.
Some kind of plan.
Definitely.
You know, and I think that extends to a lot of things, right?
I think to everything. That's what works for me. If I have a goal that excites me and I have a plan that I'm involved in and immersed in and following, yeah, that's going to make me feel good. That works for me.
Can you set a goal to come up with a goal? is that where you are now?
That's where,
like,
I'm now.
Like,
yeah.
By the end of January, you need to have a new plan and goal, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Dan. And then the process would be sit in front of a pen and paper for an hour every day and just try to figure it out. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think I'll start that today, Dan. I have to ask you, so what is the verdict on the Japanese toilet? What do you give it on a scale of 1 to 10? I have an idea what the answer is going to be, but...
7?
I had a feeling.
See, it would be higher, but, like, so first of all, it's a must-have because I can't live like a Neanderthal.
What is the brand name, please?
Toto.
Toto.
The Toto washlet.
Nice.
I can't live like a barbarian, you know, just sitting on a regular toilet seat like it's 1850.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's got me anxious. You know, most people are not anxious about their toilet seats.
I see.
I think it's fair to say.
I see.
But for me, it makes little noises, like in the middle of the night.
Right.
Like it whirs and like...
Yeah. It's plotting
against
you.
But the thing is, I know it's not plotting against, but I am a little like, what is going on in there? Like, what is it broken, or like, why is it spraying water?
Right.
Is it, you know, what is it doing?
Yeah.
Is it wasting water? Is it running all the time? So it has me a little uneasy.
But it's still a net positive to the effect that it equals out to a 7.
Right. Yeah. I'd say overall, like, you could, because it could be a 9 or a 10.
Now, we established before the Japanese toilet, your life was pretty much a seven. Now that you added the toilet, which it sounds like it's an improvement, are you at a, like a 7.2 or something in life now? Still at a seven?
It's not enough to move the seven.
Okay.
But I'd say, like today, I was thinking, I'm like four.
And you're four today?
Yeah. Okay. Because I feel a little sick. I've got like a little cold.
Ah, sorry to hear that.
If a cold isn't enough to move you a click below average, what is? This is what I'm saying about how people treat the scale all wrong. They're like, four? What, do you have cancer? I'm like, no, that would be a one, dude.
That'd be a one.
Yeah, like, you know, like people just, they're like, they think four is like off the scale low. So five is supposed to be the middle.
Yeah.
So I'm a little
sick. Four is a cold. Yeah.
I've got a cold.
Seven is great. Seven is great. Toilet's a seven. Great toilet.
Yeah.
Life is good. And no alcohol. Sober January.
Yeah, that actually, now that you reminded me of that, three. I forgot about that. I'm not happy about it. It's one of those things where I'm like, well, so far I don't mind it. And it's like, it's January 3rd. You know, like I was talking with someone, I was talking with Louie in the gym. It was like, it came up like I should have done February. Just because it's 28 days. Buy myself 3 days. Yeah. So I was like, you know, this isn't going that bad. And then I'm like, wait, it's the 4th and the first Friday.
It's harder in the beginning. You'll do fine. You'll do great. I think it's a great idea. Good for you.
Yeah, it's something.
Inspired. Yeah.
Because you read articles, right? Like that you give everything a rest. Everything gets to regenerate. Like your liver and your kidneys and everything just get strong. And then you can go right back at it. February.
There you go. Yeah.
And you're all rejuvenated.
Yeah. Hit the sauce hard.
Exactly. Then you can go on a 10-day bender. Wake up in Mexico. You still feel good about yourself.
All right, Dan. On that note, I think we've inspired our listeners, and we've had another great podcast.
A little heavy on the toilet seat, I think, but
I think that was interesting stuff. That's fine.
It's a little hard to relate that back, though, to life goals. Although I think you did a little bit, right? Getting out of your comfort zone,
right?
Or in my case, more into
the comfort zone.
More and more into a comfort zone.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. That might be the next thing. Rather than the Wim Hof cold shower, I can like the toilet seat settings on a five now. I could maybe next time I'll go to a four and like work my way back to a room temperature toilet seat.
Maybe. Or maybe you just enjoy your toilet seat the way you want it and then you do a sober January. So I think that's the modern situation where we're faced with more and more conveniences that make our lives better. Make our days more of a seven.
So this is the deeper point. So,
exactly.
Sometimes you just enjoy your toilet seat at the temperature.
Absolutely.
That you want it.
But on the other hand, you're balancing it off with the sober January. I think it's really good. Yeah.
Heated toilet seat, sober January.
Right. You have a nice house. You don't want to go sleep in the backyard in the middle of winter. That doesn't make any sense, right? Yeah. So we'll enjoy the modern convenience as well we can, but we'll keep ourselves in check by having an occasional sober January or something like that. And it's pretty good.
And I actually like the idea of flexing. I've done this on and off. It's like flex your willpower. Mm-hmm. And just like example that you would know that I've done is like I spent 2 months going to that 6 a.m. CrossFit.
Oh, right.
At your gym.
Yeah.
Which do they still have that?
Yep.
So I didn't have to, but I was like, I just felt like I was getting lazy.
Yeah.
It was the same idea. It was like, let's just flex the willpower. Let's set the alarm at 5:30, get up in the cold, dark, go to the gym, do a horrific CrossFit workout. It wasn't even for me like I'm going to long-term fitness goals. It was a willpower goal. Let's make sure you can still set your alarm, get up, do this stuff, do it a couple months, and then you're back, you know?
Yeah.
I like doing that from time to time. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, it's willpower is almost like a muscle, I think. You can flex it sometime to make sure it's still there.
Definitely. Yeah. And then the other thing we talked about in review is goal setting, creating an exciting but somewhat realistic goal and coming up with a plan and process to achieve that and then immersing ourselves in the process. It seems like a pretty good way to go about it.
And in your case, setting a goal to set a goal.
To set a goal. Yeah. I'm going to start today, Dan.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, you have to just set a date. Be like, I need my goal by...
We said by the end of January, right?
Yeah. Is that too long?
I think it's too long, but we'll say this week. I'll figure it out by next Friday. I think that's realistic, right?
Next podcast.
Yeah.
You can announce your goal.
I'll announce the goal.
All right. Now you're, now there's a little extra pressure.
That's right. A little commitment.
Yeah.
I love it. I will. I'll do that.
All right.
Awesome, Dan. Thank you again for a wonderful podcast. Thank you, folks, for listening. Remember, if you write a review, you have a really good chance of getting one of our awesome new t-shirts. And please share this podcast. Please subscribe. And please tell your friends about it. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.